Okay. Here we go.
This is the Ohio Writers Guild, and we meet once a month, and we get to interview a different author every month. So I am excited that I get to interview Danielle Bernock. She is an author, a coach, a speaker, and a podcaster. And if you haven't seen her, all you have to do is Google her name, and she's everywhere. She helps men, women, and organizations emerge with a clear vision of their value, take ownership of their choices, and chart a path to their purpose to become victorious souls. Her mantra is love yourself from survive to thrive. And you can find her at daniellebernock.com. So take a look. Yes. So Danielle, tell us to begin with, before we get down into the nitty gritty, why is your message important? And then I'm going to ask you a little bit about how did you get here? You know, how did you decide to actually write books and create this business around your books, which is quite phenomenal? I was just telling Danielle before we started recording that her hard work does not go unnoticed. I've noticed she's been working very hard this past year to put all of this together, and it's coming together quite beautifully. So tell us a little bit about yourself and why your message is important.
Why is my message important? My primary message is about love, though I deal with trauma a great deal. But the message of love is important, which sounds very general, very generic, very, you know, que sera, sera kind of thing. But to know that a person is loved is the most important thing for them to know. It is the primary need of every human being. And people are suffering. People are suffering from trauma, which strips them of their sense of value. And a lot of them don't realize that, because trauma is an epidemic. And so many people have survived trauma and dismiss it as nothing because they compare it to catastrophes, or it was just normal to them. So they don't see it in that framework that it was trauma. It was normal to them, and they don't know anything else. So they don't see it as trauma. And when someone has gone through trauma and it's affecting their life and they don't see that, they are just surviving. And so I want to help them see that they are loved. That's, for them to emerge with seeing their value, because that is important for them to know that they are loved. Because it's like I have a little pathway to go with that. There's like the three most important things for a person to know, or for anyone to know, is one is that they're loved. The second is that they have value. And the third one is that they have a thing I call a superpower, which I got from Viktor Frankl, who calls it man's last freedom, that we have the ability to choose how to respond. Choose our attitude and our mentality to whatever's going on around us. They can take everything away from us around us, but our inner life, that is where we have a choice. That's where we have power, and people need to know that. So I believe those three things are the most important things that I can convey to people. And then you can spiral out into all the other ways of helping people to heal and to embrace what I call your God-given greatness, because I believe everyone has gold inside of them.
Wow. I can just really feel that you're very passionate about this message. Tell us, how did you actually get to this place? What made you decide that you even wanted to be an author in the first place and write about this particular topic?
Well, I had wanted to write a book for a while, probably, I don't know, maybe I was in my 30s or something, because I had healed from things in my childhood, things from my life. I had changed so much, and I thought, wow, I could help people. But I was still busy raising my kids. I didn't have time. I didn't know how to write a book. Don't know anything about it. People would say, you should write a book. And that went on for years and years and years and years.
People are telling me I should write a book too. And I get it. I get it, because I keep thinking maybe later when I have more time. Of course, that never happens. But
well, I didn't know how either. It was, and it it didn't fit in my mentality of that. And when I lived in Arizona for about 5 years, from 2007 to 2012. And right before we came back, I had a gentleman, he did the tuning of my piano. I have a piano that had been my mother's.
Okay.
He tuned it for me, and he had to fix the whole back of it because, you know, other ones wanted me to throw it away, but he fixed it. And he came over and did just a stellar job, but we emailed back and forth, and he told me that I was a wordsmith. I'm like, I'm writing you emails. What do you mean a wordsmith? I mean, it just like blew my mind that he would use that terminology to put that to myself. I really had a hard time owning that. But that like stuck with me, and I thought of writing again, but I still didn't. And what happened is like a certain day came. I do a devotional in the morning. I spend time with God in the morning, and I was doing a devotional this particular morning, and the title of that devotional said, Dare to Decide. And it's like it punched me in the face or something. That was the day I decided to sit down and write a book.
Wow.
I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to proceed or anything, but I made the decision that day that I was going to be writing a book. And then I started researching. How do you write a book? What do you do about this? How do you even do this?
Now, how old were you at that point?
I was 54.
Okay, so you started back in your 30s thinking you should write a book, people telling you should write a book. Now you're 54 and you've made the decision, I'm going to write a book.
Right.
Wow. So
I studied, I researched, had no idea. I had never heard of a thing called front matter or back matter. And for anyone, your writers who are listening here, so you know what that is probably. But if anyone's watching that doesn't know, that's, you know, the table of contents, the dedication, the bibliography at the end or the appendix, all the stuff that's before the story and after the story. I didn't even know any of that. I'd never read those parts of books before. Now I read them all.
Okay.
Because I know what goes into doing that. I did so much research. I did it all by myself. I had no help from anyone but my friend Google.
Oh my word. I remember when I first met you, you already had a book published, and mm-hmm. I'm thinking, you know, you went through some big program and
oh no.
You know, I had no idea. So you just figured it out. Okay, so for our listeners, you can do this. You can do this.
There are better ways and easier ways. I will put that in there also. And I have never been a part of AAE with Carrie Oberbrunner, but I have watched some people do stellar things with it. So I'll just give a little plug for that, even though okay. I can't say I've participated myself. I look in awe going, oh man, that would be so nice.
Now, AAE, for those of you that are listening, is Author Academy Elite. And it's basically a coach who also helps you with a program called Author Academy Elite, go through the entire process and get your book from starting to write it all the way through to having it published. And so that's what Danielle is referring to. And so there are different organizations out there that can do that sort of thing, or you can self-publish, or you can go to a traditional publisher, or you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you and Google can get it done.
I spoke at a writer's conference before, and I talked about the courage and power and tools to write. And one of the things that I presented to them was for them to decide how they wanted to proceed, because you can self-publish, you can hybrid publish, which is what Carrie's is, and you can traditional publish. And I explained a little bit of those, and there are people who think, all, you know, this one is terrible. You need to do that. Everyone's got their opinions.
Right, right. But
what I always say is you need to decide what you want to do.
Yes.
And then
yes.
you commit to the process that you want to do so that you can do what's in your heart. You can do what you dream.
I totally agree with that. That is a great advice, is to just make the decision and start down that path. So now, Now, how was it? Explain a little bit more about how did you get published, and then why did you choose to go that way? Or did you just not know that there were other options at the time?
Oh, I knew there were other options. I did. I chose self-publishing very intentionally. Things are a little different now than when I published. So it's not entirely the same now as it was then. Back when I looked into publishing, if I wanted to go through a traditional publisher, I was going to have to give up the rights to my story.
Okay.
I refuse to do that. It's my story, my book. My first book is Emerging with Wings. It's my personal story of how I got free from childhood trauma and found my value. And I didn't want anyone messing with my story. This is my story. You're not changing my story. You're not going to change this to make you happy. No, it's my story. So that's why I went that way. I went through a thing called Create Space, which does not exist anymore.
Okay.
Now it's called, they've migrated over to KDP. I didn't use Ingram Spark then, but I did use Ingram Spark with my second book, this one, Because You Matter. I used KDP and Ingram Spark for that. Because with Ingram Spark, you can get it into Barnes & Noble and to other brick and mortar stores. Whereas with KDP, I'm not sure if it's completely true still because things change and they morph.
That's
but
true.
It used to be that KDP, you can't, you're online. You're on Amazon, you can be on Barnes & Noble online. I mean, I spread it all around the world and I have a quote that's gone viral out of that first book that's been translated into multiple languages. And that was through Create Space, turn into KDP. So
now, we do have a question. We have a gal that wants to know, is it typical that a publisher takes rights to a book?
It was then. I don't know now. And it's probably depends on what publisher. You would have to speak to the publisher and negotiate what it is that you want.
Okay. Good information. This is good stuff. Now, I noticed that you've now taken your books. Am I correct? You now have three books?
I have two paperbacks, but I also have two more that are on audio.
Okay, so you've got two that are published in a paperback and then two that are audiobooks. So a total of four books.
Right.
Those are all on your website. I think I saw those.
Yes.
So once I visited your website, I do have a really, really big question. Was it always your plan to do coaching and speaking when you started to write the book?
Absolutely not.
Tell us about that.
Oh, because my first book, Emerging with Wings, when I sat down to write it, when I decided I was going to write that story, I put myself into counseling to do it because I thought it would be wise. And I had no idea how wise it was. I was so glad I did that. My book is 16 chapters. I knew 8 of them when I sat down to write it.
Okay.
While I was writing my book, I learned the other 8 chapters about myself and about my life. And when I published this book, my greatest fear was that someone would read it. And I know how silly that sounds, but I also have spoken with other authors who have dragged their feet to publish. They'll write it, but they'll drag their feet to publish because of that fear, because you're making yourself so vulnerable. I shared things with the world that I had just learned about myself. I felt like I stripped off all my clothes and ran around the world naked. And after I found out a pastor was preaching at his church out of my book, and he invited me for a tour, and I went around his, because it's also a nonprofit, he took me on his tour, and these people kept saying, oh, you're that lady in that book. Oh, you're that lady in that book. And then his wife invited me to speak to her ladies, because they have a whole program for people who are dealing with homelessness or addictions and stuff like that. And I literally physically backed away from her and said, no.
Oh, really? Oh my gosh. And the Danielle that I know now is so natural behind the camera and the microphone, but you actually said no. You did not feel you were ready to do that.
Oh, I was not ready. But I did, I was still healing from the trauma. I knew how to give myself grace, but I fell down on it a lot. Like that day, I started to beat myself up because I saw it as a great opportunity and I could help people, but I was so afraid. And then I lamented and beat myself up. You let this good opportunity go by. What is wrong with you? Blah, 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 blah. But, you know, then the Lord just comforted me with timing. You know, just let it go. And I have been back to share with her ladies a number of times since then.
Wow. So this whole process is a growth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're still growing in the process. Now, why is your mantra, love yourself from survive to thrive?
Well, a couple reasons. One is what I mentioned about trauma. The trauma is an epidemic. And people are surviving it and don't know that they can thrive in life. They don't even understand that that's a possibility because this is all they know. They have survived it. They're doing the best they can, which is great. But the idea of something could be so much better is foreign to them. And so that is one I want to illuminate, that you can have a much better life than that. And then the other aspect of it is the self. Because self is our identity, who we are. And when you suffer trauma, it attacks your identity and you feel that you have no value. I lived for a while that I felt like I did not have the right to even exist. Didn't have the right to draw breath. And I went through a lot of suicidal ideation and things like that. And part of that was trauma that I had gone through in the church also, because I suffered trauma at home, at school, in the neighborhood, and at church, and in the workplace when I got older. But the self part was part that happened in the church, because they have a teaching there that because of the trauma in my life and mixing that with some toxic religion, which is, you know, a perfect storm, that, you know, the self is the part that needs to die. So you need to not exist. But then I was I got saved and I believe in Jesus, but then he died for me, but I'm supposed to die, but then I'm supposed to be alive. But then, like, what the heck is all of this? And I was so confused about what the self is. Who am I? What do I have a right to? And all of that. And so I want to focus on that because people are loved, people matter, they have a right to exist, they have a thing called inherent value, and it's a really big deal to me that people embrace their self. That's who God, that's who Jesus came to save, was that soul. That's the soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, that's who we are. You know, when you get off with, you know, the part that we need to like deal with, that's the ego. You know, there's a book out there, ego is the enemy. You know, it's true. You know, the ego is the part that we need to, you know, put in its place. But the self needs to be nurtured. The self needs to be healed. The self needs to be taught. The self is, you know, just a, like a beautiful flower that needs to come to full bloom.
Wow. I can see why your message is so important. We have another question. Now, did you reveal the names of the people who caused the trauma? This gal worries about that, but she writes nonfiction. So how do you handle that when you're actually telling your story?
I revealed the names of some. Some it was not important, so why bother? I guess someone would consider it fortunate. I wrote my book after both of my parents had passed away. So dealing with them reading my book was not something I had to deal with. There are other people that are not in that situation. If I hadn't been in this, my parents had been alive, I would only guess what I would do. I can't even imagine my dad. My dad died while I was just barely a teenager. But my mother died after I was married, had kids, and we had mended our relationship when we were very close. So if my mother was alive when I wrote my book, I would have sat down and had a talk with her about it, because she was privy to one of my primary traumas. I had multiple traumas growing up, that affected me, and you add them together and they make a big pile, causes the complex PTSD, all the different varied things. But I had two that I would say were of the greatest magnitude. And the one was in church, which completely stripped me of my identity and more. And the other one had to do with my name. In 1988, I legally changed my first name. And after my mother and I repaired our relationship because we didn't get along because of trauma, to simplify this story, her trauma as a child growing up, her trauma of losing my dad and her mother within a 2-month period, and my trauma in my life, you know, we had a lot of trauma problems in our relationship, but we built a bridge and she started it. And because of that, one day when we were dealing with something else, I don't even know why I did this, but I remember doing it. I shared with her the story of the trauma that was associated with my name. And she wept. And I was surprised because my mom was not emotional. She had suppressed all of her emotions due to her trauma. In fact, that's part of my message I share with people, because that's what people do with trauma, is they suppress their emotions. I had done it for a long time because it hurts too much. But if you suppress your emotions and you refuse to allow yourself to feel, your emotions will go internally, they'll go toxic. And if you do it long enough, they will kill you. They cause cancer, they cause heart attacks, they cause cardiac sicknesses. There's a whole list of sicknesses that causes. And my mom died of pancreatic cancer. And I believe that was her suppressed emotions and something else the Lord showed me, which is nobody's business, that of why that killed her. And the Lord told me I needed to deal with those things or I would be in the same situation as her. So I shared that with her and she wept. And so I believe that I would have sat down to talk to her before writing the book and she would have given me her blessing, because my parents were part of my trauma. I suffered childhood emotional neglect from them, which was, anyone who doesn't know what that is, a quick little training on that, read the book, Running on Empty by Dr. Janice Webb, and you'll get a whole schooling on that. There's 12 different ways that she identifies a child could be emotionally neglected. And one of them is by well-meaning parents who were emotionally neglected themselves. And both of my parents fit into that. But then there were other things also, like the loss of my dad and my mom unable to deal with life after that. She'd lost her mother in July, and in September, not even 2 months later, she lost her husband. And she was an only child, had no father, had no mother, had no husband, had 3 kids.
Oh, wow.
And the church abandoned her. So she was left all by herself.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I'm so proud of my mom, what she did. She paid off the house. She raised all of us. I mean, we were messed up, but I have so much respect for single parents, because people don't know what they have to deal with.
I know. We have a response that her crying over you telling her about the trauma around your name was probably her recognition of that.
In fact, she is the one who suggested that I legally change my name.
Interesting. And so then you did that. See, this is, yes. I did not know this about you. Wow.
It's so, the premiere episode on my Victorious Souls podcast is the story of my trauma with my name. It's also in my book, Emerging with Wayne. So
writing this whole story was probably, I'm assuming, rather painful for you to get through the story. So was it really freeing at the other end once it was out there, and once you accepted the fact that folks were in fact going to read it? Did it become freeing to you, or do you still have a little twinge of hoping somebody doesn't read it?
No, I don't hope that anymore. I feel things from time to time because, you know, it was just trauma, but I don't get triggered very much anymore. And if I do, it's short-lived. I recover quickly. But the title of the book is Emerging with Wings, because it's an emerging with freedom. It's like why I have my necklace here with the wings. People say, oh, that, and then I get to talk about my book, Emerging with Wings. And if anyone has seen the cartoon, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, this is where I got that from. When Clarice told Rudolph that she thought he was cute, that's when he flew. She said, I'm cute. She said, I'm cute. She said, I'm cute. And then he flew. Mm-hmm. And it was with that kind of elation that he had. That's what I had at the end of my story. I had elation at the end of my story, but still, because it was fresh, people didn't know how I got there. So there was all the fear and the shame and all that, but no, it's my story and it's my story. And if you don't like my story, I'm sorry. It's not your story. It's my story.
We all have a story. So yes. And I imagine there are thousands, if not millions of folks that never write down their story because they simply, number one, don't want to relive that. They have stuffed it down far enough and they feel that they just want to leave well enough alone and move on, so to speak. And so they never do go back and heal from all of that and have that freedom that you're talking about and, right. and the wings, the freedom of soaring.
Right. And that's why I have a course that's based on that first book to help people to go through that. Cause people ask me for a workbook. And I'm like, how do I do a workbook? It's my story. You can't go through my story. How does that help you? And so I created a course to take people through the process I went through, and they can do it privately. They can do it alongside with going to counseling if they want, or I offer coaching. I mean, if it goes too deep, you need counseling. I am not a counselor, but to encourage people to do that. I have a review on the Fast Track course by someone who went through that. She identified something, wow, I had never thought of that. That was still affecting me today.
And that's the amazing piece that I noticed is that not only did you author and publish these books, but then you've created a business around your books that you can actually monetize for yourself, but it's giving back to humanity in such a big way. Yeah. And the message is so important. Now, how do you help people reclaim their sense of self? Is it through this course and your books or coaching? Again, tell the folks, you do more than that. I know you do some public speaking. I know you have a podcast. You have all of that and they can connect with you in so many different ways.
Yes, I have a blog. I have I send out an article every Monday with a little brief little newsletter. So I have an email list and that is completely free. I have my Victorious Souls podcast, which is available on all the different formats and platforms, which is also free. And I have coaching that I do. I have done workshops. I do public speaking and I put on presentations. For people so that I can help them.
And I see you all over social media, by the way.
Oh, and my courses too. I forgot. And my courses. I have my courses. And then I create tools also. Like I just finished today and offered it starting today. I'm offering for this Christmas season, a My Emotional Health Journal. Because people go through the holiday season. They burn the candle at both ends. They don't think about themselves. They end up being so sick after Christmas is over because they didn't take care of themselves. And so with this little journal, which is free, people can help chart their way to success through the holiday season and remember to take care of themselves. How am I feeling about them? Maybe I don't want to do that. Maybe I need to do that. And just, take a couple minutes a day, and it doesn't have to start in January. In December, start now before Thanksgiving. It's a 30-day journal.
I love it. I love it. What do you think is the most important thing that a person needs to know?
That they're loved. We touched on that already, that they're loved, that they are loved, that they are loved no matter what. And it doesn't matter what they're doing, how they're behaving, what they're acting like, they are loved and they have value. And back to the sense of self of how to recover sense of self, I have a process that I use to help people to reclaim that sense of self through all those tools. And it's the acronym SELF, actually, which stands for C, expose, love, and free. And the C is about awareness, because you can't deal with anything if you don't see it. And then exposing is to like, look under where you swept things under the rug, to go a little deeper. And then the L for love is to build courage in you so that you have the strength and the willpower to do something about it. And then the free is the action plan to actually do something about it.
Wow, I'm impressed. I'm very impressed. Tell us something that you encountered in your writing journey that you didn't expect.
That how much I love to do my podcast and to speak and coach. I was talking with someone the other day, and just kind of like, you know, how you talk it out, then you hear, wow, yeah, and you kind of figure it out, sort of like when you're counseling. Oh, wow, I didn't know I felt like that. I said, I really like to talk with people and to listen. And that's probably because I wasn't listened to and wasn't allowed to speak.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Again, I've watched your journey. I see you on social media. For those of you that are listening to us this evening, Danielle does these little video clips across her social media. And she always says somewhere in the clip, you know, I'm the lady who loves you.
That lady on the internet who loves you.
Loves you, yes. And I love that. And so sometimes I have to tune in just because I've got so much on my desk to do, or I've got someplace I have to be, but I'll tune in long enough so I can hear her say that.
Well, you can subscribe to my podcast, because everything that I do live on Facebook ends up on my podcast. And I do the interviews on there, and the things on my podcast, the majority of them are less than 10 minutes long. And that is not by accident. That is definitely intentional. People said to me for years that I should start a podcast, just like I should write a book. Like, yeah. I don't know how to do a podcast. Well, I just started it March 1st this year, and I did research about what kind of podcasts there are. My accountability partner from FireRing had said, you need to listen to podcasts. I'm like, I don't have time, because they're like an hour long. And I drove to our workshop. I'm like, okay, I have 4 hours here. I'll listen to them then. I started listening. I found different lengths of them, different kinds of them. I started researching all the different formats and how people talk, how it's introduced, what they cover. It's like, well, how would I want mine to be? And I want mine to be easy for people. I want it to be you tune in for 5-10 minutes and you got something to make you feel better. But I do interviews also. Those are anywhere from a half hour to an hour. And I've learned that when I listen to a podcast, I can stop and pick it up later. I'm very task oriented. So I want to like finish where I start when I
get it. Yes,
but yes. You can stop and listen to the rest of it later. And that's just fine. But they're short on purpose so that they're easy. You know, you're running to the grocery store, you can listen for 5 minutes on your way to the grocery store.
Well, this has been an amazing interview. I love everything that you're doing. I love your message. I love your books. I love your podcast. I love your social media post. And so I want to encourage the folks that are listening, whether you're listening live or whether you're going to listen to this as a replay, I want you to encourage you to actually check in with Danielle. And you can go to danielleburnock.com. She is also on Facebook under Danielle Burnock. She is on Instagram under D Burnock. And she is on LinkedIn under Danielle Burnock. And then her podcast is on Anchor FM, and it's under Victorious Souls Podcast. Did I say that correctly?
Yes. It's also on iHeartRadio and on Amazon and Audible and all the other platforms. That's just the host site for that.
Yeah, that's perfect. Sherry says, great job. So anyway.
Oh, and just for people who are listening, many times my name is always misspelled easily because it's Burnock. Well, it's B-E-R-N-O-C-K. Many people will put a U there. But it's a B-E-R-N-O-C-K, D-A-N-I-E-L-L-E, B-E-R-N-O-C-K. And I am that lady on the internet who loves you.
I love it. I love it. Now, for those of you that are listening in, I have an online academy. It is under Kathy Benner International Academy. You can Google that. It'll come up. I'm the only Kathy Benner International Academy on the internet. So if you just Google my name, that will come up. And you can just scroll down the homepage and you'll see the Ohio Writers Guild. We have a free meetup every month. We talk to different folks every month, and then all of those replays are actually positioned there in the online academy, and you can go in and find the dates, the Zoom ID, and all of those replays. They're all right there for you, so feel free to do that as well. And Sherry, she says, Sherry just to us personally, she said, see us in Daphne's room. And we all have a coaching call later after this for those of you that are listening. But anyway, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And Danielle, thank you so much for coming on. And
I loved it so much.
Yes. And I'm going to check the chat here. See, it says good job. Looking to make sure we've answered all the questions we have. And again, look up Danielle under DanielleBurnock.com and Kathy Benner International Academy.com. So we'll see everyone next time.
Okay.
Bye.